Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Before we read together, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your Son, your precious Son, in whom you took infinite joy in whom the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. And we thank you, Father, that equally it pleased you to crush so that we might go free. He became a curse so that we He became an object of your wrath Father. We ask remind us of the cost of our fellowship with you. Remind us of the cost of our familial relationship with you, as well as our familial relationship with each other. Bless this time as we open your word. We consider what it has to say. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 16. I'd like for us to read from verses 1 through 5. Let's read that together. Romans 16, beginning in verse 1, going through verse 5. Paul writes, I commend to you our sister, Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life. Don't you love Paul used that phrase? Risk my necks. I love it. Sorry. Just all right, and we're back. Okay. To whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. We could keep going. Greet Mary and greet Adronicus and greet Urbanus and greet Ampelaetus and all these different people. We're going to deal with that moving forward. Demetrius is going to pick that up next week even. There's a reason why we are looking at verses 1 through 5 this morning. We're going to focus most of our time on verses 1 and 2. But I wanted us to have kind of a running start or at least some kind of context so that we could imagine and understand exactly the setting in which this takes place. Also, you can kind of get the feel for what's happening here. Paul is turning his attention away from deep theological truths to very personal realities, very individual connections that he has. He starts with Phoebe, but then there is a list of 28 different people, named and unnamed, that he says, greet this person and greet that person and tell them that I miss them. And so you can kind of get the feeling like Paul is bringing this letter to a close, but with great eager expectation of seeing them. We talked about that just a few weeks ago, this idea that he longed to be with them. And this gives that statement teeth, doesn't it? Whereas he is writing here, as he's bringing this letter to a close, he has every hope of seeing Andronicus. He has every hope of seeing Prisca and Aquila. But he just can't help himself. He has to continue on and speak these good words of encouragement and love. This tells us something about Paul. So many commentators and preachers of the scriptures like to gloss over this part of Romans. And I understand why. It's because there's not a whole lot of deep theological truth. It's not like, you know, we're discussing soteriology, the study of salvation. We're not talking about the depths of pneumatology, the Spirit of God. We're not talking about any of those incredible things. But what we do see here is the heartbeat of the one who wrote about all those things. The heartbeat of the one who gave probably the most deep and resounding and most prolific text of theology in all of the history of man. And what we find out about Paul is that he is a people person. He is a people person. He loves people. He loves them so much, he can't help but remembering their names and praying for them. And even here, even under the power of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there are some people who don't believe that this is inspired. I think that's foolish. I think it's absolutely inspired text. Paul was overwhelmed with that personal relationship that he had with all of these different people. And the Spirit moved him to read, to write exactly how he felt about them, so that we, 2,000 years later, could catch the heartbeat of this apostle. He was not some stone-cold theologian who just wrote truth. He was a person that made intimate connections with people. What a failure it is for us to be so enamored with theology, so enamored with truth, that it makes no difference in relationship to one another. For shame on us if we love theology so much, and yet we do not love people. That's the root of Pharisaism right there, isn't it? Paul was no Pharisee. Not anymore, anyways. He was a people person. Interesting also to note that verse 5 gives us a picture of kind of what normally took place. Read again with me verse 5. He says, greet also the church, the whole church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there in Rome. Just greet everybody that met where? In Prisca and Aquila's home. This is the kind of setting that this letter would be read in. This is the kind of setting that most of all of the letters in the first century would have ever been read in. The people of God would have gathered together and sat in some patron's home and would have sat there and listened to the word of God being read and then expounded upon there in someone's home. And so with that, then, we come to verses 1 and 2 with some semblance of an idea of the tone in which Paul commends to the church in Rome this lady named Phoebe. Phoebe. Look again, verses 1 and 2 with me. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever way or in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. The first thing we note here in verse 1 is this commendation. Paul is commending to the Romans, the church in Rome, this particular woman. This was the word that this commendation spoke of, commendatory letters. Letters that were issued so as to give some people an idea of who it was that was showing up. Acts 15, the elders sent it with Paul and Barnabas on one of their trips. Now, in that letter, towards the end, it gives them very specific details concerning the idea of the laws of Moses abided by, or if it's, you know, circumcision is a thing. And they came to a conclusion, no, there's only a few things that the Gentiles need to understand are mandatory when it comes to the Old Testament law. Abstain from idols, abstain from sexual immorality, and don't drink blood. That's a pretty good set of rules. Don't drink blood. But in that letter also, the elders and the apostles commend to the church in Corinth specifically, Paul and Barnabas. Now, Barnabas didn't need much commendation. Paul needed a lot of commendation. Everybody remembered Saul of Tarsus. And everybody knew Saul is now being Paul. And the wool ain't pulled over their eyes. They know who this guy is. And so the fact that this short little letter is given and sent with two well-known and respected individuals was a commendation to the church. Receive Paul and Barnabas. Receive them, for they are brothers in Christ. That was very needed. Phoebe received this same basic commendation, only it was a little bit more extravagant, if you will. Not much was said about Paul in the letter in Acts 15. But there's a lot said about Paul. Paul mentions that she is first our sister. Then he says that she is a servant of the church. And then he kind of brings it back and reminds everyone, or tells everyone, she was a supporter of the church. She was a sister, she was a servant, and she was a supporter. History teaches us that Phoebe was the one who actually carried the letter, this book that we have now, from Paul to Rome. Phoebe is the one who was entrusted with this very precious book. All it would take would be for the church in Rome to know that she was the one who brought the letter, to know this is a special lady. This lady is highly trusted. It doesn't mention that anyone went with her either. So this woman was incredibly trusted. Given the enormity of that task, the commendation was actually a well-trusted that they should roll out the red carpet for this lady. They should welcome her with open arms because she was so trusted and so used to help and aid and assist Paul that Paul felt so comfortable giving to her this letter. And once they heard it read and the enormity of it, the depth and the most amazing breadth of its scope and span, she would have been elevated in their eyes. This is the woman? This is the one who couriered this letter? Praise the Lord for this woman. Thank you for bringing this wonderful message that we church. This makes it interesting then that she was the first mentioned in chapter 16. That there was any commendation actually given. It's not normal that the one who carries the letter would have gotten such an Other things to note about Phoebe, not just that this commendation wasn't necessarily needful, but Phoebe was a woman, if you hadn't figured that out yet. The trip would have been intrinsically dangerous for her. Paul sent her anyways. That should tell you a little bit about Phoebe, probably. Like, okay, so this is a dangerous trek that this woman is about to go on. I'm not going to give it to a band of men to carry. I'm going to give it to her. I don't know, maybe she was feisty. I don't know, you know? Like, okay, nobody's going to mess with Phoebe. You know what I'm saying? Maybe she was one of those women, you know? Like, oh, yeah, come on. What do you got? There's no robbers going to befall her and snatch the letter out of her hand. She was a woman. Interestingly enough, though, she was also undoubtedly a single woman. Did not have a man associated with her. Neither a father nor a husband. Maybe she was never married like Paul. Maybe she was a widow. Or maybe she was a divorced woman. What we know is that she was not a married woman at the time. Paul, and likewise first century Christians, then, should never be labeled as misogynists. He's ever written, one of the longest, to a single woman. And this was his heartbeat. He longed to see Rome. He longed to be with them, so much so that he had to pen this letter just in case he couldn't get there quick enough. And who did he entrust it to? He found the most strapping young man possible. Known in the church as a faithful church. So go and take this. Phosa, however you pronounce those, Persis, the mother of Rufus, was actually so dear to him that he called the mother of Rufus his own mother. Any comment at all, Julia and Nereus's sister, say that five times fast, Nereus's sister, verse 15. Interestingly enough, Christianity stood apart from most other ancient cultures in the fact that women were active roles in this religion. punctuation had not yet been invented in the Greek language. And so when letters like this were penned and sent with their couriers to be delivered, the writer would typically because she would be the one to deliver. In the first century. This is the value that Paul placed on Phoebe. Phoebe was first, as we see in verse 1, our sister. As Paul spoke of Phoebe as his and their sister, it reminds us that we are all members of one household together. His sister. She is our sister. You are my sister. You are my brother. We are of one body, which is the church. God, we are all so. We are all called to be brothers and sisters one to another and to treat each other as such. 2:18-19 says, "For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Phoebe was not to be considered an alien. She was considered to be a sister. You, if you're in Christ, you are not an alien to me. You are not an outsider to me. I may not even know your name. But you are my brother. You are my sister in Christ. This is the vision that Paul casts for the church. That we would have such a love for one another. That we would give of everything because they are our family. Truth be told, the spirit is thicker than blood. As thick as blood can be, how much I love my family, Christ is thicker still. The Roman Christians, Prisca and Aquila, also may not have been known too well. We're going to hang out with them. Traveled from one place to Corinth, and then obviously to Rome. All of these people's names within the church in Rome may have been well known or may have been slightly known. It wouldn't matter. They were all brothers and sisters in treated as such. Nobody says, our sister. I like that. Don't you like that? It's like he kind of like pronounces. You know? Don't think she's just. And this is a description about Phoebe. It's not merely a title that she possessed. She wasn't a nun. This is a position that she held because she was in Christ. She was a sister. So you don't obtain to the rank of brother or sister. It's something that is bestowed upon you because of your position in Christ. You didn't earn the right to become my brother or my sister. Christ earned that for you. And so therefore, I am compelled to treat you as such. But more importantly, this is not some title that she would put on and she would take off. This is not a position she held. This was a reality of who she was. And this is very important because of the next statement made about Phoebe. This next statement is one of the most provocative statements, sadly, about Phoebe. There in verse 1, read it with me. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. It's literally the word, well, translated into English. There's no feminine form of the word deacon in the Greek language for a few hundred years, at least not in known or well-used language. So the idea of a deaconess could not have been there. Here, Paul, he's saying she is a servant, a diakonos of the church, the ecclesia in Cenchrea. So, obviously, there are female deacons. I submit to you, but let me say this. Ready? I'm gonna remove everything about that right now. I will be more than happy to tell you my position on the matter, but here's my point. Whether or not the Bible says that there are deaconesses or not, Paul here is not saying she was a deaconess of the church in Cenchrea. It doesn't fit with the context. It can't fit with the context. There's three statements that he makes about Phoebe. The first is that she is our sister, won by Christ, not because of a title that she wears. The second is this servant. And then was a supporter, a patron, a helper. This was not a title that she wore either. It was not a position that she held. It was an action that she performed. It was something that was just intrinsically about her, that he was communicating to the church. She was our sister. She is a servant of the church, and she is a supporter of Christians everywhere, myself included. We'll get to that phrase, patron or supporter or helper, in just a moment. But first, let's deal with this idea of a servant. It is the same word as deacon, but that same word is used as just a servant throughout the Bible, as well as through Greek literature, not meaning the title of deacon. Some have claimed that this is clearly a statement of Phoebe's role or official title in the church of Cenchrea, but that would go directly against the immediate context of this commendation. He is not giving her pedigree. He is explaining to the people, this is who she is. She's our sister. She loves the Lord and she loves his church, and so therefore she serves the church. You can serve the church without loving Christ, but you cannot love Christ without serving the church. She loved Christ so much. That was the first statement. She is our sister, and therefore she was a servant. Phoebe is not an official deaconess of the church. She is a faithful servant of the body of Christ. Many of those who I would even agree with, or I'm sorry, that I would disagree with in regards to female deacons and things of that nature, those who would have female deacons in their churches, consist of people like John MacArthur. He has female deacons in his church. He would also agree, this is a very terrible excuse for proving female deacons. This is not a proof text for female deacons. This is talking about Phoebe. Phoebe was a servant. So we diminish really what Paul is saying when we try to give that as a title to her. We diminish what she actually did, which was faithfully serve that local expression of the Church of God. It wasn't a title she wore. It was a service she rendered. Phoebe was a servant, one who served a local body faithfully. Centuria is the town in which that city or that church was located. It was 7 to 9 miles east of Corinth. Centuria was a thriving town filled with innumerable idols. Incredible amounts of pagan worship took place there. Corinth was a thriving metropolitan of trade and commerce. Centuria was one of those highlights. It's like Daytona and Orlando. Orlando would be Corinth, and Daytona is Centuria. It's like Orlando. And Daytona Beach, the world's most famous beach, where all the bikers and weird people like to come and try and jump the Main Street Bridge with their motorcycles. Crazy people. Did you know that happened? That some of you didn't. I didn't know it till this morning. Sarah's like, hey, did you hear about this? And I'm like, what? Yeah. I'm just going to say it because we're there. All right. So this dude, middle of the day even, right, has a trailer behind his motorcycle and tries to jump the Granada Bridge. The trailer is what saved his life. Like, he got stuck, you know. The bike's hanging over this way and the trailer's stuck on that way. Everybody's wanting to know, who made that trailer hitch? Saves lives, you know. So it's prolific, and it's wild, and it's crazy. So I'm going to make this connection. Ready? Here we go. Behold Centuria. So you got Orlando. Whew. But then you've got Centuria. And they're filled with ideas. We're bombarded day in and day out with incredible levels of idolatry. Sorcery, witchcraft, things mentioned all out, wickedness. And she was a faithful servant. She was a single woman who is still faithful, faithful to her Lord and faithful to her church. Praise the Lord for people like Phoebe, for ladies like Phoebe. Praise the Lord for those servants who are willing to go against the culture, which is an openly, thereby surely taking upon themselves the discredit of Christ. Verse 2. start verse 1 again. We'll just kind of get a running jab at it here. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centuria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. That you may welcome her in the Lord. Welcome. With friendliness, welcome. The root verb of this idea of welcoming or receiving means to accept deliberately and readily, receive kindly, and so to take to oneself what is presented or brought by another. It means to welcome as a teacher, welcome as a friend, welcome as a guest, even into one's own home. The word describes accepting persons with open hearts, and beyond the idea. I just want to know. Is that Adele? Oh, who's Phoebe? She's a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all? That's all she needs. Word. It's the same word that speaks of weight, balancing weight. So, when you go to a public square and you would buy something, they would weigh these weights. Accurate. We go to Publix and we put the things in. I always wonder how accurate those scales really are. You know, put one potato in, it's like 30 pounds. Okay, I'm. It's the idea, the imagery here is that you would welcome Phoebe, the welcome that she would experience should weigh as much as your position in Christ. Worthy of equal in like proportion, weighted properly. Your position. You should welcome this woman into your midst with such acceptance. Pause for a second here. Think about that. Think about what Paul is saying. He is bringing it on, right? Before you get any funny ideas, Phoebe and Paul did not have a thing going. He wasn't sweet on her. He wanted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to experience what it is to truly love one another. As we read this, it is Holy Spirit inspired, and so we ourselves should take this as a lesson. When we accept a brother or sister into our fellowship, to have it as weighty as our own salvation, we should love them with such a love that it would only equal the love that Christ had for us. Imagine a church. Imagine a church that could overlook not overlook sin as in like overlook, as in not deal with. I mean overlook that we are sinners and know that we all need Christ. Overlook, I wanted to make sure that you understood what I was saying there, but also overlook personality differences, quirks. We're all different and we all look weird, and who knows what Phoebe looked like? Who knows how she acted? She could have been the goofiest lady at Centria, but she loved Jesus. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter your personality. It matters if Christ is in you. And if Christ is in you, then we ought to treat you as Christ treated us. The weight of our hospitality should be such that the world would wonder at how much we love one another. And isn't it interesting that pretty much the entire book of 1 John kind of teaches us that? Love one another. You will be known that you are servants of Christ because of the love that you have for one another. Treat her, accept her, welcome her, receive her in a way worthy of the saints. And how are the saints treated? What is it that saints get? 2 Corinthians 5:15. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. The weight of our position in Christ ought to be expressed. We love one another. That's what Paul is calling the church in Rome to for Phoebe. And I would say the Holy Spirit calls us to do the same for one another. What does it look like? What does it look like to do that? Well, we love one another. John 13:34. We be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10. We honor one another above ourselves. Romans 12:10. We live in harmony with one another. Romans 12:16. We build up one another. Romans 14:19. We be like-minded towards one another. Romans 15:5. We accept one another, Romans 15:7. We admonish one another, Romans 15:14. We care for one another, 1 Corinthians 12:25. We serve one another, Galatians 5:13. We bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. Forgive one another, Ephesians 4. Be patient with one another, Ephesians 4:2. Speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4. We be kind and compassionate to one another. We speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We submit to one another. We consider others better than ourselves. We look to the interests of one another. We bear with one another. We teach one another. We comfort one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Stir up one another. Provoke one another. We show hospitality to one another. We employ the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of one another. We clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. We pray for one another. And we confess our sins to one another. That's what it looks like. To have the weight of our welcoming be equal to the position we have in Christ. And this is what's really fun, is this is like a quid pro quo type of situation. Because look at the text. Read the text. Listen to what he says about Phoebe. This last thing he says. Verse 1, he says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Patron, a helper, a supporter. This idea of patronage, she was a patroness, as it were, not a title, but an expression of what she did. A patron, as it were, a title, would be someone that is over, set over other people, in leadership above them. A caretaker, as it were. Say, an official patron would be one who you would say is the guardian of a group. So this word would mean, if it meant a title. But if it doesn't mean a title, but if it means an action, she would be someone not who exercised authority over others, but rather, Paul was clearly establishing that she was a person who, with her means, brought herself low and found the lowest of the low people and raised them up. Not as someone with authority, but as someone with means. She used her means so as to bring up the lowest of the low, to help the weakest of the weak. She aligned herself with those who would be unmentionable. She was a supporter of the weak. Phoebe was a support, what does verse 2 say? Of many. A great deal of people who were in dire need. She was the one who came to their aid. And at the very end of verse 2, and of myself as well. When I found myself, Paul says, at the weakest, she was there. When I was at the lowest, she came to my side. Not as an authority over me, not because she was a patroness, but because she loved Jesus enough to serve the weakest of the weak and the lowest of the low. We like to serve the big dogs, don't we? Right? Yeah. We like to be associated with those who have name and clout, pomp and circumstance. We want our 5 minutes of fame intrinsically. Phoebe was the kind of Christian who rejected that notion and sought out the weakest of the weak, the widows, the orphans, those that society would throw away. And she took her resources and her time and her effort, and she supported them. A model Phoebe has become, which is exactly what Paul wanted her to be to the Roman church. They're in Rome, baby. Rome, right? I mean, come on now. Rome. Wow. They're in the epicenter of the known world, right? That would be like New York City a few years ago. Now it's not the epicenter of the world anymore. Too much trouble. That's for a different sermon. It's like the epicenter of everything. They think Dubai, you know? It's like the money, the power, the wealth, the circumstances. Think of Los Angeles. Think of these huge cities where everybody just wants to congregate to. Think of Daytona Beach right now. No, go away. We love you. Sorry. All right, moving on. Right? These people were... They were at the show. And Paul puts before their eyes at the very end here of this wonderful treatise on theology a picture of the kind of Christian we all should strive to be. One who supports the lowest of the low, not the richest of the rich. One who comes to the aid of those who are the weakest of the weak. The supporter of those who need her the most, she helped. So when she needs help, you better give it. Right, you should hear that tone, I think. Like when I read it, it's like, listen to it again. He says, you belabor a little bit. Verse 2, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need. She needs it. And you should be willing to graciously and quickly help her, for she is a helper of all, including me, Paul says. He closes this book, or begins to close it, with this wonderful list of people. I mean, verse 5 tells us the name of the person who is first to believe in Asia. That's cool. I just think about that. That is really cool. But what is most important is that we recognize the reality, the point of all of this, is that honoring others honors God Himself. Making much of others makes much of God. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Just a few chapters back, Paul tells us what he now, in chapter 16, begins to example himself. Love one another and outdo one another in showing honor to one another. For in that, God is pleased and honored and glorified. So glorify God together with me as we love and honor one another. Let's pray together. Father, you are the Father of all those who trust in your Son. And therefore, that makes us brothers and sisters together in Christ, heirs and joint heirs with Christ and with each other. Grant us unity. Grant us love. Grant us the encouragement to live out what the Scriptures teach us when it comes to